Amen. Well, I want to welcome everyone here. I know I've met a couple of visitors. Welcome to New Hope Chapel's Sunday morning praise and worship service. Of course, I welcome those of you online. And I think it's time for Super Church. Am I right about that?
Yes.
Let's do it. Amen. 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 And it all starts with Gretchen and Eric.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Well, that was a great song set.
Yes.
There were some oldies. There were some goodies. There was new ones. It was just wonderful. I think that this particular song set really, really prepared us for the message this morning. And I do want to extend a welcome and a thanks to our guest voices on the stage this morning, Pastor Jonathan and his wife, Elsa. You can always tell when someone is an AG pastor, his wife can play the piano. That's a fact. That's a fact. Amen. By the way, I know that the Lord has gifted us in many different ways, and there are people here who can sing. There are people here who have musical talents of sorts. But you're not using them to uplift and to show the majesty of your Savior. You're not worshiping with the gifts you've been given by volunteering and asking Kay to include you on the praise service. That doesn't mean that everybody who thinks he can sing can sing. But Kate is so gentle and loving, she'll let you know that you don't harmonize very well, which is fine, but you should. Just the fact that you made the effort to hook up, there's blessings there from God for your faithfulness. So give us some consideration. You know, I wrote in your handouts a little note about how we tend to celebrate the resurrection. We just celebrate the resurrection on one day. This is Easter Sunday. But after Jesus was resurrected, he stayed with the disciples for 40 days. And that time is worth considering. That's what I mean. That's the aftermath. And so my text this morning is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9 and 14 through 18. And it's printed, of course, in the New King James in your outline for easy reference. But this morning, I've got to tell you that this is a sermon which was given to me by God. I believe that it's a simple salvation message. And yet, people will say, why? We're all saved. Maybe. Pastor Alistair Begg once said before he preached, he said, I'm not here to tell you of something you never heard, but to remind you of something that you should never forget. You know, so we look at each other and we say, well, if you're saved, you may be in a backslidden position, or you may be lukewarm. And so hearing this message is a reminder of your first love, which is Jesus. And if you're saved, you may need to remember a few things about the gospel to share with the unsaved friends that you get that Jesus sends you. And then, of course, there are those who believe they're saved. But the gospel is here, in the head, not in the heart. As Scripture says, that that be you, examine your faith, examine your salvation. And then, of course, fourth, you're unsaved. Welcome to the love of the gospel this morning. Amen? So that's why I have my sermon as the Easter season, the aftermath. I've also captioned the outline. I'm not following the sequence of my notes in case you figured it out. I have captioned the outline as well. It says, we do not lose heart because Jesus is, and then you have the flow of your outline. So, to look to God as I always do, to straighten out my thoughts and to make me follow outlines, we just pray in Psalm 19:14, as I always do. And so, dear Lord, this morning, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen? Has anyone here or have any here lost heart and been discouraged? You know, because of the trials and the difficulties that we have in life, I can safely say that we have all been there. Sometimes the burdens of life become so great that they're unbearable. There are seemingly unsolvable problems and unbelievable pressures in life that crush our spirits and our hopes. You know, the disciples of Jesus had lost heart after Jesus was crucified. They had left all to follow him, and their hopes and their dreams for the future were tied up with him. All of that came crashing down when he was arrested and taken from the Garden of Gethsemane. Then he was taken to trial. And then he was crucified, the most cruel, shameful death that could be exacted on anyone at that time. And of course, they saw their master reviled, spit upon, beaten, and crowned with thorns, and they heard the mockery of the people. They feared for their lives. And so they hid in the upper room. They locked the doors and shut the windows. They had truly lost heart, and they had become indescribably discouraged. But all of that changed. In John chapter 20, verse 19, Jesus appears to them in that upper room just in the nick of time. Then for 40 days, Jesus convinced them that he was alive and he would be alive forevermore. He comforted them concerning their future. He commissioned them to go into all the world to preach the gospel. And after his ascension, they prayed for 10 days, and they came forth after those 10 days with the boldness of a lion, preaching the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit, and 3,000 souls were saved. And the rest is history. We know that they went into all of the known world and beyond at that time. And the question for us this morning is, what can you and I do when we lose heart? What does the resurrection season say to us about our times of darkness, despair, and discouragement? Well, consider first in your outline, we do not lose heart because he is the resurrected Christ. You know, Paul writes to the Corinthians intending to encourage them. And in our text, verses 8 and 9, he relates his own personal experiences. And he says, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Why didn't Paul give up? And the secret is in our text, verse 14, which states, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. Because Jesus lives, we live. This is one of the most important truths in the Christian faith. In 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52, Paul says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. Amen. Then in 1 Corinthians 15, 19, it states, if Christ had not risen, Paul says, we are of all men most miserable, but now Christ is risen from the dead. Listen, Paul declared that Jesus is risen from the dead. And because Jesus lives, we can live as well, and we have eternal life for it. A dead Savior can save no one, but Jesus has the power to save, for he has conquered hell, death, and the grave. And Jesus himself said, because I live, you live also. You know, in 1 Corinthians 15, 55 to 57, Paul declares the hammer with which Christ acted. It says, O death, where is your sting? Where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He who gives us the victory through Christ our Lord. So this morning I say to you, do not lose heart, my friends. There is salvation through Him. And the moment you give your life to Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. And He said in John 5:12, He who has the Son has life, and he who has not the Son of God has not life. You were saved to live forever. Jesus says in John 11:26, Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. I know that there are some here this morning who do not have a personal relationship with Him. And He desires to come into your life today. We know that He says in Revelation 3:20, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, I will come into him. Listen, you don't have to die and be separated from God for all eternity. Jesus wants a personal relationship with you. So don't lose heart. Remember, He is the resurrected Christ. Second, consider in your outline, do not lose heart because He is the reconciling Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:18, Paul said, For all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ. And the word reconciled means that before we can come to God, before we come to God, we are cut off from God. And if we don't know Christ, we will lose heart, because without Him, we have no hope of heaven, no hope of forgiveness, no hope of seeing our loved ones who have died in Christ. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:1 that we were dead in trespasses and sins. James tells us we are enemies of God. There was a barrier between God and ourselves. And when Jesus comes into our life, at that instant, we are at peace with God. And this reconciliation is brought about by Christ's death and His resurrection. And we read in Colossians 1:20, And by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross, and you once, who was once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has He reconciled. You know, in the temple, back then, there were three rooms. The outer court was first, and the inner court, and then the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God dwelt. And when Jesus died on the cross, He cried, It is finished. At that moment, the veil of the temple was torn open by God from top to bottom. And that symbolized that we had access to God's presence, which was now made possible by Christ's death for our sins. Jesus Christ, our great high priest, has given us access to the throne of God. We can enter into the Holy of Holies with God in heaven. When we are there, we can enter into His presence because we have been reconciled to God. So this is resurrection season. Do not lose heart. You have been reconciled to God. Think about that you are His child. Royal blood flows through your veins. You are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Angels precede you and follow you wherever you go. Listen to Romans 8:38 and 39, which states, Neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature is able to separate you from the love of Christ, of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Listen, you have joy unspeakable, and you're full of glory. Principalities and powers must be subject to you. You are more than a conqueror through Christ. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ.
Amen.
So we do not lose heart, for he is the reconciling Christ. Consider third in your outline, we do not lose heart because he is the restoring Christ. I want you to listen to verses 16 through 18 of our text, chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, which states, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Amen? You know, sometimes we grow weary in the journey. Sometimes we want to just give up or give in. In our physical bodies, we think we cannot go on. The outward man is perishing, but the inward man is being restored day by day. And if you are discouraged today, allow Jesus to renew your inner man. I want you to remember that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Amen.
And resurrection season means that there is restoration. There is a new beginning. He is the restoring Christ. You remember Peter. Peter cursed and denied Jesus three times. He had grown discouraged when Jesus was taken prisoner. And he began to doubt whether Jesus was really who he claimed to be. But when Peter looked into the tomb and saw that it was empty, his doubts and his fears dissipated. Then at the Sea of Galilee, Jesus spoke to Peter and said, "Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? If you love me, feed my sheep." So Jesus restored Peter and assured him that he had a meaningful place in the kingdom. He restored Peter as a disciple. Now perhaps this morning, you're like Peter. You have become discouraged. You're not serving the Lord as you once did. You've gotten away from Jesus. You don't love him with the same intensity as you once did. This is resurrection season. Don't lose heart. Just know that Jesus wants to restore your faith. He wants to restore you unto himself. And like Peter, you may have given up, but he has not given up on you. Remember, he is the restoring Christ. And then consider that we do not lose heart because he is the returning Christ. I want you to notice again verse 18 of our text, which states, "While we do not look at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." We are to keep our eyes not on our problems, not on this world, but on the coming world. Keep your eyes on the eastern sky, for Jesus may come at any moment. He's coming in the twinkling of an eye. He told us, "Stay alert, for we do not know the day and the hour wherein the Son of Man comes." 318 times alone in the New Testament, they talk about the return of Jesus. It's mentioned. 1/20 of the entire New Testament deals with the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now we know that on the Mount of Olives, Jesus met with his disciples for the last time. And after giving them their marching orders, this is what we can read in Acts 1, 9 through 11, which states, "Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven.'" Notice the scripture here. He will come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. He went up in a cloud. He will come back in a cloud. He went up bodily. He will return bodily. He went up victoriously. He will return victoriously. He went up visibly. He will return visibly. He went up personally. He will return personally. And several things will happen when he comes. Consider first in your outline, the saints will be resurrected. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16, Paul says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." Those who have previously died in the Lord went immediately into his presence. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, "For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord." But when Jesus comes in the air for his church, 1 Thessalonians 4:14 says, "Even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." In other words, our loved ones who have died in the faith will come back with Jesus. And their mortal bodies will be risen from the dead. And then they will have immortal bodies just like Jesus has. And second, consider in your outline, B, the saved will be raptured. The living saved will then be raptured. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 states, "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them." The them are our loved ones in the faith who've already been restored. "Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." You know, we get this word rapture from the word caught up. This means to be caught up with a powerful force. And according to 1 Corinthians 15:51, we shall all be changed. You know, one moment we'll be on earth in our mortal bodies, and the next moment we will be with Christ in our immortal bodies, along with those who have died previously who now have their own immortal bodies with them. Consider third in your outline, C, the skeptic will be rebuked. In 2 Peter 3:3-4, we read, "Knowing this first, the scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation.'" And then in 2 Peter 3:8, Peter declares to the skeptics that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is as a day. So when the skeptic says, "Well, it's been 2,000 years since Jesus promised to return and everything goes on as it always has," in reality, we could say, according to God's timetable, it's only been 2 days. Jesus is coming soon. And when he comes, we are to be rising in the air with him. And we can look down at the skeptic and just think, "I told you so. I told you." It's resurrection season. Jesus has risen from the dead. So don't lose heart. Make sure you're ready to meet him when he comes again. Even if you have 1% of doubt, settle that doubt. You cannot lose by making sure. And then fourth in your outline, consider D, the spirit will be removed. In 2 Thessalonians 2:7, we read, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, for only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way." The he being referred to here is the Holy Spirit. You know, after the rapture of the church, the Holy Spirit steps aside, giving the lawless one, the Antichrist, unrestrained power to deceive those who have heard the gospel, who have been convicted by the Holy Spirit, that they need to be saved, and they have rejected Christ. They were not raptured. 1 Thessalonians 2:8 tells us that at this time the Antichrist is revealed, And the tribulation period begins. And for 7 years, God will allow the Antichrist to have his way. 2 Thessalonians 2:4 tells us that he will require us to worship him. Revelation 13:13-16 tells us that he will require that the entire world demonstrate allegiance to him by requiring them to take the mark signifying his authority and power. Now, according to Revelations chapter 6, Revelation chapter 6 and 7, the greatest revival in history will take place among all the peoples of the world. Uncounted multitudes who have never, never heard the gospel in the church age will hear the preaching of the 144,000 and accept Christ. But according to Revelation 13:15, these courageous believers will be killed because of their faith. Right now, in America, you can accept Christ and people will affirm you, acknowledge you, accept you. Come to Christ today. You know, I can't think of a better time than resurrection season to make your decision for Christ. And if you are sitting here a discouraged believer, don't lose heart. Get up, pray up, look up, and pack up, because we are moving up. You know, the resurrected Christ may return today. I tell you, I wouldn't be surprised if he came on this resurrection season. Wouldn't that be just like Jesus? Amen. Well, service is over, and I trust that, pray that the peace and the hope from our Savior will fill our lives. Next week's sermon is titled God's Way. The theme continues, resurrection power. God's way next week. So I'll see you all next week. Amen.